Amen. That was good. Thank you, Phyllis and Bethany. Appreciate that. Amen. Good, good. Well, we had a great service this morning and sure enjoyed that. And then tonight, we are delighted to have Brother Tony Petronico. He is an evangelist. He's been here several times before, and he's with Grace Baptist College. Actually, we have their tour group coming in a couple of weeks. And Brother Petronico had an opening and was going to be in the area. And so I wanted him to come and be a blessing. So listen carefully and let God speak to your heart. Brother Tony, you come.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you so much. It's a blessing to be here. Anytime you get to preach the Word of God, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to stand behind this desk. I don't take that lightly. It's a joy to be here. I love your preacher. I really do. I've come to really respect him. I've come to admire what he's done down here, what the Lord's done with him. Amen. And you ought to love your preacher. Amen. You ought to do everything you can for your preacher. You ought to pray for your preacher and his wife and his family. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 12. I do have a table. And listen, if you get an opportunity to stop by there, that's great. I've got some really good books and neat books out there. You know, I'm convinced, preacher, that many people don't go soul winning, not because they're wicked, because they're afraid. They're afraid of confrontation at the door. And, you know, if that's your situation, don't stay there. It's okay to be there, but don't remain there. Amen. You know, I've got a neat book on the table from David Walker from Tallahassee, Florida. He did a great job with this book. It's called Personal Witnessing and Soul Winning in Church Visitation. You know, he gets around all the door stoppers. Amen. You ever been out there, the door's knocking, and someone says, "Oh, I'm a Catholic." You ever hear that? Or "I'm a Jewish." Or what do you say? How about this? Are you a saved Catholic? I mean, he handles all of those. And it is one of the books on the table. I've got a book on the King James Bible, Charted History of the King James Bible, to help you determine why the King James Bible is the Word of God. And I've got good music on the table. And you heard good music this morning, amen. I know that for sure. And God's commanded you to put good music in your home, amen. He's commanded you to sing to yourself in hymns and psalms. And so you want to know how up to date your King James Bible is? Amen. Watch this. Where's that hymnal? There it is. This is how up-to-date our King James Bible is, amen? That thing we sing out of, what's it called? Singing to yourself in hymns. Well, I'll say psalms first. How's that? Midway through your Bible is a book called Psalms. The best way to memorize Scripture is put it to music. Amen. Hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Well, what are those? Spirit-filled Christians singing good music, amen, that'll minister to your heart. Get it, put in your heart. Listen, the devil knows the importance of music. That's why he's got his, amen. I actually have our brand new CD, our college tour CD that we just got done, and that's on the table. Stop by the table if you can, and just if you make yourself available. Hey, listen, if you don't have money, it's a big crowd here, and I don't know if I can do this for everybody, but I'm not here to get your money. I'm here to be a blessing, amen. If you want a book or something on the table and you don't have money, just let me know and I'll get in your hands. I want to be a blessing to you. Amen. Genesis chapter number 12, if you will. Genesis chapter number 12. And out of respect for the Word of God, if we'll just stand for a moment and stretch your legs. The room is going around and I'm long-winded, so you'll be sitting for a little bit. Amen. Ben Potter. By the way, Ben's represented you guys real well up at Grace. And he really has. He's a good young man. He works hard. Amen. He's got a great testimony, and he's done a good job. I challenge your new graduates to do the same wherever they go. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I'll show thee, and I'll make of thee a great... Listen, this is what we call the Abrahamic Covenant. God's getting ready to call his people out of the Ur of the Chaldees and make himself a nation, amen. And I don't know if you ever noticed this before, but the Abrahamic covenant is a perfect covenant. Watch. And the Bible says in verse number 2, he said, I'll make thee a great nation. There's promise number 1. He said, I'll bless thee. Promise number 2. He said, I'll make thy name great. There's promise number 3. He said, thou shalt be a blessing. Promise number 4. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee. There's promise number 5. Curse him that curses thee. Promise number 6. And isn't it neat? The thing that makes it perfect is the promise of the Messiah. And he said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Perfect covenant. Amen. Verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance they'd gathered and the souls they'd gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Now flip over, if you will, real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 17. The Bible says this, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Father God in heaven, we do thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the good music. God, I pray, Lord, I pray it's done its part, Father. Good music. Music in the church house, Lord. The song service, the specials, Lord. All designed and developed to prepare the heart for the preaching of the Word of God. And thank you so much for the good job tonight by those that sang specials and the congregational. God, would you just do a work, Lord, tonight, please. Holy Spirit of God, please fill me, use me, God. Aside of your Holy Spirit, I really can't help your people. Father, but you can. Holy Spirit of God, you're welcome. As a matter of fact, you promised where two or three are gathered, there's a lot more than two or three in here. There you are in the midst. So would you go up and down each and every pew, every young person, every teenager, Lord, every young adult, college and career, every mom and dad, every grandma and grandpa, Lord, preachers, assistants, God help us today, Lord. We need help. We're a needy people, this preacher included. Bless the preaching of your word now. As we lift your son up, you promise you draw all men unto him, for us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may sit down. In chapter number 11, if you're real quick, by way of introduction, the flood is not far off in the distance. And I love studying my Bible. If you go back and forth between us, that'd be great. I'll just use this for the rest of the time. I love studying my Bible. Amen. When you come to God's Word, do me a favor, run to your devotions and not through your devotions. If you take your time in God's words, you'll be surprised what you find. Man, when I was preparing for this message, I was in Genesis chapter 11, just wanting to get a background for God calling Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and I found something neat out. I found that Shem was still alive, preacher. You know, it wasn't hard to figure out because in Genesis chapter 11, matter of fact, go back to Genesis chapter 11 real quick. The Bible says the whole earth in verse number 1 was of one language, one speech, came to pass that they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Wicked. They weren't supposed to do that, by the way. They were supposed to go forth, be fruitful, and replenish the earth. And this was a rebellious people. They said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, slime had they for mortar. Bible says, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto the heavens. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon us." Well, God told you to scatter. I want to show you something here. I found something. I call this God's universal law of unity. Behold how good and behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, this ain't the message, but it's just introduction. But it's a good message, amen. Verse 4, he said, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city, a tower, lest we be scattered." Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city which the children of men built. By the way, God's going to come down and see what you're building. And see what I build, amen, and just check out what's going on in our lives. And the Bible says, which the children of men build in verse 6, and the Lord said, "Behold, the people's what?" Now that would be a very good testimony for Berean Baptist Church. Amen. I promise you, there's something we're missing in our movement today, and it's unity. Now, I'm not saying be blind to everything, but unity. I'm not going to go there. And the Lord came down in the city, verse 6, the Lord said, "Behold, the people's one, and they have all what? One language. This to begin to do. Watch this. And now what?" What is that word? Do you understand that you could probably reach every child in your VBS if you get unified? God said, look it. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. That's why God divided the language, by the way, because they were wicked people. They weren't obeying God. And he had to divide them up. Otherwise, he said, this crazy crowd's going to get done whatever they want to get done. Would to God that be our testimony? Yeah, would to God. I mean, when God looked at us, he said, "Boy, I like what's going on down there." Yes. Boy, they're all unified. Boy, by the way, the devil knows that too. That's why he gets you fussing and fighting. Right. Devil knows the law of unity. I know that went over real well. Do you know, I think I'm going to stop here for a second. Do you know that 90% of the time, who do we spend our time around? Christians. I mean, unless you work in the workforce, but when you come home, who are you around? Your family? And hopefully they're Christians, amen. If they're not, lead them to the Lord, hallelujah. Who do you think is going to offend you? Who do you think is going to do something to upset you? Amen. Do me a favor, a good exercise. Look to the person to the right of you or to the left of you and say, you're ugly. No, don't say that. Say, one day, do this, a good exercise. One day, you will offend me. Now, when it happens, don't blow out sideways and quit on God. Right. Amen? Listen, there's the devil knows the power of unity, and that's why he's got us fussing. Yep. Right. If we'll just get this, you know it's not hard to forgive somebody? Right. Now, this wasn't in my message. I'm totally going on God here. It's not hard to forgive somebody. You just got to set your pride aside. I'm sorry. You know, I really shouldn't have done that. That's not hard. But we got more people in our churches today that'll fuss and will stay mad at one another. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It really does. You know, this man studies and he prepares and he labors and he prays and he gets God's mind and he prays for your families and God gives him a message to help your children. But the Holy Spirit of God gets frustrated because we're fussing. And our children suffer, our families suffer, our church suffers. And guess who suffers then? Our community. And then our state. And then our nation. Well, you'd be surprised what you can find out when you read the Word of God. Just take your time with God, amen? Shem's still alive. That's where I was going. I don't know how I got there. I guess God wanted that in there, amen? Look at verse number 10 real quick. These are the generations of Shem, and it's important. I want to show you why it's important Shem's still alive. Matter of fact, Shem, he's 465 years old when God calls him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Verse 10 of chapter 11 says, Shem was 100 when he begat Arphaxad, which was 2 years after the flood. See, we're not far after the flood in Genesis chapter 11. Then verse 11 says, Shem, he lived 500 years after Arphaxad was born. That means he lived to be 600 years old. Then you just start counting the years. This is what's neat. See, we rush through lineages, and I think God really wants to show us some things in the lineages. If we'll take our time and study it through, it's amazing what God will show you with lineages. Look at verse number 12. Arphaxad was 35 when Salah was born. Verse 14 says, Salah was 30 when Eber was born. And verse 16 says, Eber was 34 when Peleg was born. So that's 35, 30, and 34 equals 99. Look at verse 18. Peleg was 30 when Reuel was born. Verse 20 says Reuel was 32 when Serug was born. And verse 22 says Serug was 30 when Nahor was born. Now Nahor was Terah's daddy, or Abram's granddaddy, excuse me. So you've got 30, 32, and 30. So there's 92. You got 99 and 92. Now look at verse number 24. Nahor was 29 when Terah was born, and that's Abram's daddy. And verse 26 says Terah was 70 when Abram. Hey, guess what? You know Abram was a triplet? Look at it. Terah was 70 years old when those three boys were born. Last time I checked, the only time you could have three kids in 1 year is if they're triplets. Pretty neat, isn't it? That's pretty cool. I like it. So anyways, Terah was 70 when Abram, Nahor, and Haran was born. So that's 29 and 70 is 99. So you got 99, 99, and 92. But Shem was 100 when it all started, and it comes up to 465 years. You say, why is that so important? How many of your grandparents in here tonight? Raise your hand. Do you ever take your grandchild and just bounce them on your knee and talk to them about your family, tell them about your family history, and tell you what grandpa used to do? Amen. Abram was Shem's great, 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 great granddaddy. They just happened to live that long back then. Amen. Hey, Shem was in the flood. Shem was there when his daddy started to build an ark. Hey, Dad, what are you building? Well, I'm building an ark, son. What's an ark? It's a boat. What's a boat? I mean, they never saw a boat before. Why are you building a boat? It's going to rain. Hey, what's rain? I mean, can you imagine the questions? Well, God says it's going to rain, son. For 100 years, he built a boat. And people mocked and ridiculed until one day, God shut the door. Hey, Shem heard the screams. He saw the result of doing that which was right in your own eyes, and the result was dead bodies floating in the water because they just would not believe God at His word and take God at His word. Now I say that because Abram is Shem's great-grandson. And there's no doubt in my mind they dwelt in clans back then. They didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles, amen? So they all gathered together, and there's no doubt in this preacher's mind that Shem spent some time with Abram. And talk to him about Noah and the flood. and said, Shem, you could, he said, Shem said to Abram, you can trust God, boy. Listen, I watched my daddy do it for a long period of time and God didn't let him down. Hey, young people, listen, trust your mom and dad. You say, why is that? Because they've been around a little longer than you. They've seen God do more things than you've seen them do. Amen. You say, why is that so important? Well, let's just jump right into the message. We've got the Lord's Supper tonight. I want you, first of all, to see God's command. We'll get back to Shem in a moment. In verse 1, God calls back in Genesis chapter number 12. God calls Abram. He said, Abram, get out of the country. He said, Abram, get away from your kindred. He went one step further and he said, Abram, get away from your father's house. That was God's command. Now watch this. Separate yourself, he said. Now let's understand, you got to understand something. Who's your father's house? Think about this for a moment. Your father's house is mom and dad. That's real easy. Mom and dad have kids. Those are your brothers and sisters. But watch this. Mom and dad have brothers and sisters. Those would be your aunts and uncles. Well, your aunts and uncles have kids, boys and girls. Those are your nieces and nephews and cousins. Who went with Abram? Talk to me. Lot was not supposed to be on Abram's journey. When God called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, separate from your father's house, the only person that was supposed to go with Abram was his wife because they're one flesh. When he called Abram, he called his wife. That's it. God's command. That's why verse number 4 is the saddest verse in all the Bible. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. God could not write, so Abram departed as the Lord commanded. Because he didn't. I want you to see Abram's choice, secondly. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, so Abram departed as the Lord had what? Spoken, and who went with him? Verse 5 clarifies exactly what Abram's choice was. Let me ask you a question. Is God all-powerful? Revelation 19:6, that's correct. As I heard it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You're absolutely correct. He is omnipotent or all-powerful. Is he all-present? Sure he is. Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, which saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So for God, well, let me ask you this, is he omniscient? Does he know all? Of course he does. So if an all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent God gives Abram a command with a grandfather, a great-grandfather, Shem, who said, you can trust God, son. I watched him do it to my daddy. You can trust him, boy. What on God's green earth is Abram doing not obeying God? You say, oh, but he went. Do you know partial obedience is still disobedience? Amen. We teach that to our kids, but we don't like that ourselves. Amen. We'll tell our boys and our girls, well, bless God, don't have an attitude when you take out the trash. If I ask you to take out the trash. Well, what about us, though? Where do they get it from? It's good for us too, folks. As bizarre as all that may seem, I don't want to focus there. What I do want to focus, though, is on the... We saw God's command, we saw Abram's choice, but I want to focus on the consequences of that choice. Because we ought not be too hard on Abram. We are a lot like him. See, really all Abram did was say, God, I like what you promised. God, I want to be blessed. God, I want my enemies to be put down, and I want my friends to be multiplied. God, I want my family to be multiplied. And boy, it sounds like I'd love to bless all the families of the earth. He said, boy, I like that plan, God, but I tell you what, I got a plan myself, and I think I'll do it my way. That's what he said. I didn't come out and say that, but he said he wanted to help God out. He took Lot with him. He wasn't supposed to. See, we're a lot like him. Let me ask you a question. What has God asked you to do or I to do? What has he commanded us to do? What is on your journey tonight that simply is not supposed to be there? See, there's some things in your life and my life, God. Now watch this. Lot wasn't necessarily wicked to have him along. You understand what Abram was doing with Lot was a noble thing. It was the custom of the day. But what made it wicked and wrong was God said no. So you know what? That means teenagers, you know, playing your video games isn't necessarily wicked in and of itself. But when God says, hey, son, I want to spend some time with you, and you choose to play your video games over that, then it becomes wicked. Then it becomes an idol in your life. Mom and dad, you know, watching a TV show every now and then, I don't think it's necessarily wrong. No, I wouldn't suggest a lot of TV shows on TV today. I mean, you know, you might want to rent one or something like that. I don't know. I don't know where you stand on that. But it maybe isn't wicked in and of itself. But when God says, hey, have family devotions instead of watch that show, at that point, it becomes very, very serious to God when we don't obey him. See, things that aren't necessary, we think of the bad stuff. We think, well, gross. The worst thing we ever did was qualify sin. Oh, well, you know, he did a really bad thing. He shot somebody or he robbed a bank. You know, I just played my video games for 3 hours instead of reading my Bible. Whoa, wait a second. Same economy with God. See, there are consequences to Abram's choice. And listen, I understand the Old Testament is written to the Hebrews, written to the Jews. I understand that, written to God's people. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Do you understand we can look at the Old Testament and we can look there? It's full of patterns. It's a blueprint. You know, we could do what the Old Testament saints did and we'll get what the Old Testament saints got, good and bad. I believe that with all my heart. So we got a pattern before us. Now, watch the pattern. Well, let me start here first of all. Consequences of choices. If you're here today and you're not saved, what are you waiting for? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never been born again, you say, why do I need to be born again? Because Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Those are the Lord's words. John 3:3 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If that's you tonight, the choice that God's put before you, before any other choice, that you before your family choice, before your employment choice, before your church choice, is what are you going to do with Jesus? What will you do with Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary? God's made a way of forgiveness for you, and it deserves, not have, but it warrants a decision. Too many people think they can do what they want, preacher. You really can't. You're going to have to make a decision for Christ. Now, I should say decision about Christ, because not everybody makes a decision. You understand that the most insane thing that this preacher that's speaking right now is there's not one person that has to die and go to hell. The way has been paved. But people die and go to hell every day. That makes no sense to me. You don't have to die and go to hell. The crowd this size, there's probably some folks that may be in here don't even know for sure. I mean, maybe you're even doubting. Maybe you're trusting in what your mom or dad said you did as a five-year-old kid. Maybe you just don't remember. But you're scared to death. If you say anything, somebody's going to make fun of you or ridicule you. I promise you that won't happen. I know this man. I know these people. Matter of fact, the Bible says there's joy. I wouldn't care really what man thinks. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of the Lord over one sinner that repenteth. That means heaven gets real happy when you get saved. Amen. And that really all that matters. But the decision gets put before the choice before you today is what are you going to do with Christ? Hey, it's a free gift. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough for it. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift. There's that gift again of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, what are you going to do with Jesus today? You got a choice. I told the young people downstairs, hey, everybody's preparing for something. You say, well, I'm not going to make a choice for Christ tonight. I'm not going to make a choice. You made a choice. You made a choice not to accept him. Receive him, accept him. Heaven's your eternal destination. Reject him, leave tonight without him. A devil's hell is your eternal destination if you happen to slip out into eternity before you get saved. You say, well, what do you mean the devil's hell? Matthew 25:42, the Bible says, he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. Hell was never prepared for mankind. Never was. That's why the Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. I'll go one step further. You ever hear? Oh wow! You remember when Jesus? Side note: remember when Jesus came riding into to Jerusalem on the colt, and everybody was yelling and screaming and saying Hosanna, Lord High, and they were just having a good old time. And those Pharisees said, "Lord, tell those folks to shut up; they're making too much noise." He said, "Watch this. This is pretty neat." He said, "Hey, if they would hold their peace, the rocks would cry out." Now watch this. Watch this. I did a little study. I've just been doing a little bit of research. This is a side note. I just got to share it with you because it's pretty neat. What would the rocks cry out if the people were going to hold their voice? The king's coming, right? Here comes Hosanna, Hosanna, the Lord God cometh. The king is coming. The king is coming. That was Jesus. Ever since 1979, preacher, there's been a minimum of 15 earthquakes on a daily basis every day of magnitude 2.0 or higher. Brother Hagelin did all this research. I did this research for Brother Hagelin at the college for a message he preached. Now watch this. This is pretty neat. What other perfect way or example of rocks crying out than earthquakes? Or volcanoes exploding and erupting? Now watch. What are they saying? The king is coming. You don't have time. Hey, the king is coming. He's coming back, and it could be now. It could be before the end of the service. Are you ready? Hey, he's coming, and hey, guess what? Why are the rocks crying out? Because we're not. Amen. What are you doing with Christ? But for the child of God tonight, for you and I who are saved, who have made that decision and applied the shed blood of Christ to our sin debt and have heaven as our home, eternal destination, that which you and I face, that know the Lord and do not obey His full command, the first thing that happens in your life and my life, let's take a look at it. Verse number 6 is spiritual defeat. Verse number 6, the Bible says, in verse number 6 of chapter 12, and Abram passed through the land under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Instead of living in victory and entering into the land, the Bible states that Abram passed through the land, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Look at verse number 7. The Lord appeared unto Abram, and by the way, the Lord will appear unto you and let you know where you're not right with Him. The Lord appeared unto Abram, and watch this, and He said in verse number 7, unto thy seed will I give this land. That had to be a pretty mighty blow. See, I think we read our Bible wrong. We know the end of the story. We've zipped through it. And we know it all works out in the end and it's all good. But Abram didn't know how this thing was going to work out. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, God gives him a sevenfold perfect covenant. He said, I'm going to bless you, son. I'm going to bless them that bless you, curse them, and you all the families that bless. Now God shows up and says, son, basically he said, son, you blew it. Under your seed now will I give this land. I think Abram stopped for a moment and just scratched his head and said, what in God's green earth just happened? You know, it's okay to stop and examine some things. You know, when things aren't going so well in your life, don't plow through and push on. You need to really check those things out. When you and I do not, listen, blatant disobedience led to a diminished blessing. Amen. That's what just happened, folks. God took it all away. He said, listen, unto your kids now I'm going to give this thing. Look at verse number 9. Or verse number 8. The very first thing. This is powerful. Well, let's go back to verse 7. Lord appeared unto Abram, sent him unto thy seed, will I give this land? There he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Verse 8. First thing Abram does. God help me figure this thing out. No, what's he do? He removes himself. Look at it, folks. He removed it from thence unto a mountain. Can anybody tell me what Bethel means? The first thing Abram did was left the house of God. He removed himself from the house of God. The Bible says having pitched his tent, having a house of God over here, and Ai, which is a picture of the world over here, and here's the epic battle most of our homes are in tonight. They're in the middle. God's house over here, and the world over here, and there's a tug of war going on because there's a bunch of stuff on it. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I asked Ben to help me with this. Ben, I want you to separate from the whole crowd out there. I want you to come up here. I'm going to bless you, Ben. I'm going to do a bunch of stuff for you. I don't want you to bring one person. You separate from all your friends, all your family. Come on up to the platform, but don't bring anybody with you. I want you to come by yourself now. Let me ask you a question. Did Ben do what I told him to do? But he did do as I spoke. He came up. Thanks a lot. You can go sit down. Stay here. Abraham. I need a couple of songbooks, guys. About 4 or 5 will do. That'll work. Thanks. Come here, Ben. Stand right here. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Put your hands up, buddy. Both of them, you're going to need them. What has God asked you to get rid of in your life? What has God called you away from? I don't know, maybe it's some of those things you watch on TV. Young people, maybe it's a relationship. I don't know. Maybe it's your music. Maybe it's your attitude towards your parents or towards other Christians. And this is for everything that God just whispered in your ear. We carry that junk with us when God told us to get rid of it a long time ago. And it's killing us. You know why? Because I got the pattern. We got the pattern. What's going to happen in your life and my life? First thing, spiritual defeat. Look what happened. You can handle this, right? You got some stamina? You're going to be there a couple minutes. Look at verse number 8. First thing he does is he removes himself. But not just himself, folks. His family. Where do you think Lot got a picture of Sodom and Gomorrah? Right here. Go ahead. You keep playing with this thing. It's nothing wicked. Lot wasn't wicked. What's on your journey tonight that's not supposed to be there? It'll cost you your kids. It could cost you your spouse. We'll read on. He removed himself from thence on the mountain of east out of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. And there he built, watch this, there he built an altar. But guess what? God didn't show up. Now not only is he in a cloud and a funk, now he can't even get God in on this thing. He built an altar, called on God, and God didn't answer. Look at verse 9. So Abram stopped, said, God, help me figure this thing out. The Bible says he journeyed on, still going to the south. Yeah, south. You know what's south, right? Egypt. You know what's in Egypt? You know what Egypt is a type of, right? How many know some folks that you can't find with the FBI's help? This was the digression. House of God here, AI here. But instead of figuring that thing out, it's like this. It's always God. Why does God always lose? Why is the first thing we give up is God? What's on your journey tonight that's not supposed to be there? It gets better, or worse, should I say. Next thing that happened in his life was there was a famine. Folks, listen. You pick. Where do you want God to stop in your life, in my life tonight? At the famine? At getting tossed out into the world? At that tug of war with God's between God's house? I mean, where do we want it? I don't want it, period. I don't need it. I can't handle it. By the way, neither can you. There's a famine in the land. So he went down into Egypt. And what did he do down in Egypt? He almost cost his wife her life. He started lying. Well, listen, we know the story. A lying tongue in Egypt. Wait a minute. Chapter 12, verse 1, God says, Abram, get you up out of land. I'll show thee, etc. He gives him promise after promise after promise. How many times in your life and how many times in my life has God, in a message or in preaching or in meditation, which is personal devotions, God spoken to us and given us a promise? We know it. We know God's spoken to us and dealt with us on a topic. And oftentimes before you ever get back to even the pew, we've gone back on it. We made a decision. God did something absolutely life-changing in a life. Happens at teen camp. It happens at summer camp. And do me a favor. If your kids come home from camp or home from the youth conferences during the summer, don't throw water on their fire, please. Amen. How many times we made a decision, God did something absolutely life-changing, only to find ourselves sometimes not even getting back to our pews or getting 3 days out of at a summer camp and gone back. And those, may I submit to you that maybe God commanded us to do some things, but all we did in response was as he spoke, but not as he commanded. And some things are on our journey tonight that's just not supposed to be there. But not just spiritual defeat, I've got to hurry. strife and discourse. Look at chapter number 13. And verse number 5, for sake of time. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And by the way, that which is on your journey tonight and my journey tonight that's not supposed to be there will have their flocks and herds and tents. And the Bible says that their land was not able to bear them. And by the way, our land will not be able to bear them either. We can't handle it, folks. Well, I can handle it. No, you can't. Never could. Just allow your heart. Verse 6, land was not able to bear them that they may dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. Watch this. And there was, verse 7, strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Now listen, watch this. There was strife in the family. Let me ask you a question. Hubby and wife, what's going on? Is there strife in the home? Hey, mom and dad, young man, why is it always a battle with your parents? Young lady, why is it always a battle with your mom and your dad? Hey, at work, at church. Hey, even at church, I know church members that, I know churches where the church members are all over their preacher. Why is there always a problem with the preacher or the soloist? That was a great job. Well, why can't I sing? What was that, the Wilbers or? Wilbars. Why? Well, look at it. They let the Wilbars sing. Why can't I sing? Because you can't sing, probably. Amen. When the Bible says make a joyful noise, you qualify. But why has it got to be a problem? Strife and discourse. Or are you fill in the blank? Why are your herdsmen and the man of God's herdsmen? Or, hey, mom and dad, why are the herdsmen in your home strifing? Listen, in my family, when my wife and I, we fight, I know that's hard to believe. Don't look at me like that, like you never fought with your spouse, amen? Well, I didn't say I punch her, I said we fuss. But I promise you, when I fuss with my wife, the first thing I do is say, God, what's on my journey today that's not supposed to be there? God, I'm not supposed to have strife in my family. Hey, church, we're a family. Not just your immediate family, you're a family. You're the body of Christ. There ought not be strife in the church either. May I submit to you? Watch this. Faulty trust led to family trouble. Folks, what's on our journeys tonight that's not supposed to be there? We saw God's command, Abram's choice. We saw the consequences for that choice. But watch this. There is a conquering solution. Look at chapter number 13 and verse number 8 and 9. I've got to hurry so we can get to the Lord's Supper. Although all this junk was going on in his life, there is a solution, folks. You say, what is it? It's called amputation. Hey, you know, although in the Old Testament, we see this account in the Old Testament, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter, flip back to real quick for a second. I want you to see this. I think it was 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 16. And verse number 17. Wherefore, again, listen, God still says to you and I, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Watch this. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, which one's unclean? Whichever one's unclean. The one that's not dirty. We do not have permission of God. Listen, if God calls it dirty, it's dirty. Period. That settles it. It doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not. Or I agree with it or not. We've got the same command. God has called us out just like he's called Abram out. So let me ask you a question tonight, church. What's on your journey that's not supposed to be there? Amputation solution. Look back at Genesis chapter number 13 real quick and we're all done. Genesis chapter number 13, verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, verse number 8. And Abram said unto Lot, verse number 8 of chapter number 13, let there be no strife, I pray thee. I think Abram figured this thing out. Hey, you know questions are okay for God? It's okay to ask God questions. You know that, right? I think sometimes we don't think it's okay to ask God questions. But, you know, we're supposed to examine ourselves to see whether it be in the faith. But I think that goes one step further. We just need to examine ourselves to find out what's going on in our lives. You need to stop, folks. You need to take time. Take time to be holy. Amen. Take time to be holy. It takes an effort. Listen, it takes an effort. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Hey, church, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. There ought not be strife, he said. Is not the whole land before? I think, Abram figured this out. I think he went back to his mind's eye, and I think he went back to when the God first called him out of your Chaldees, and he said, I got to get this thing fixed. He said, I got to get away from Lot. He said, listen, separate. I don't think it was like, listen, you know, you need to separate, Lot. He said, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. He said, if you go that way, I'll go this way. If you go that way, I'll go this way. Hey, get an urgency about it, church. Get an urgency about it in your life. Get that stuff out of our lives. Why? Look at verse number 14. Lord said unto Abram, after that who? Hey, after that garbage TV watching or videos or music or the poor attitude or the video games or that relationship, whatever it is that God's dealing in our lives, after that Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes. He said, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed for an inheritance. Every bit of the promise of the covenant was reestablished the moment he separated from that which God originally intended them to be separated from. Go ahead and sit down, Ben. So let me ask you a question tonight. You know, I could have preached a message on, you know, shouting, but I don't think the Lord wanted that. Our churches are hurting, folks, and there's a reason for it. We need to have more influence than we've ever had, and I think we're starting to have, we have less influence than we've ever had, and there's a reason for it. What's on your journey tonight that's not supposed to be there? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How about it? Maybe you're here tonight. You've never made a decision on what you're going to do with God's gift. Oh, it's a gift to you and I tonight. But listen, it cost him everything. Will you spit in the face of God tonight? We said, thanks God, but no thanks. Oh, my friend, that's a very dangerous place to be. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. Don't fear him who can destroy your body. He said, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? I'm going to pray in a moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you just aren't sure. You're here tonight, you're not one. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Nobody looking around. You by an uplifted hand, you'd say, Brother Petronico, I just don't know for sure. If I were to die tonight, that I just don't know if I'd open my eyes in heaven. But I sure would like to know that. Here's my hand. Would you please pray for me? I don't want to spit in God's face of that free gift he's given us. But I didn't know that. I never put it in that context before that nobody has to die and go to hell. I see that hand. Anybody else? Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't care if you've been a church member for 20 years. Don't die and go to hell for anybody. Preacher, here's my hand. Please pray for me. Listen, I'm not going to ask you for a confession of sin, or maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You get that handle in the invitation time. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but I saw that one hand. How about this, child of God? What's on your journey tonight that, simply put, is not supposed to be there? Aren't you tired of the stress? Aren't you tired of the turmoil? Heaven being shut up? God seeming like he's a million miles away at times? What's in your life that you know the Lord's been dealing with you about? That if it were written for all humanity to read, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so departed tonight as the Lord had spoken instead of commanded. We've seen that you don't have to leave here tonight that way. Hey, like Abram and Lot, you can too have God say, lift up now thine eyes. Fellowship can be restored. Promises can be reinstated. Bridges mended, amen, after what was separated in your life. He said, unto thee will I give this land. Father God in heaven, would you bless the invitation time? Father, do what only you can do in the hearts of your people. As the piano starts, Lord, just save the lost, dear God. Encourage the child of God. Father, those that just need to do business with you tonight, Father, would they just come? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands for confession of sin, but if God spoke to your heart, would you just encourage this preacher to say, preacher, God spoke.